Quackcast, Revenant Edition, number 241. This one is called Hungover. Originally from the science-based medicine article of the same name from October 15th, 2024. A relatively brief podcast this time. It takes me a while to produce these essays, and a big chunk of time I would usually spend on writing and doing this Quackcast is going to be traveling. I most certainly lack the energy to both blog and be a tourist. You know the saying, when in Rome, don't work. I must be on some sort of email list. I receive many emails suggesting I interview providers of supplements, complementary and alternative medicines, aka scams. Evidently, I am someone who is interested in promoting pet acupuncture or fascial maneuvers, or as an inspiration for this post, a hangover preventative. At no time in my writing or podcasting endeavors have I ever shown an interest in promoting these products, and I have never done an interview. Someone who has not done their due diligence and reviewed my vast multimedia empire to see if I would be an appropriate person for the task. Reviewing these promotions was something that the late, great Harriet Hall used to do. I do miss her writing. It did occur to me that these emails would make good blog fodder, and while Harriet and I have different styles, we shared a similar skepticism. And maybe I will be removed from said mailing lists as a result. I can only wish. The email in question was for Jelly IV, or maybe it's Jelly 4, a, quote, plant-based, jelly-formatted hangover cure is designed to tackle the hangover effect. Since Jelly IV combines the best of Eastern medicine with modern wellness trends, delivering a practical solution to a common workplace issue. With just one dose before bed, employees can wake up refreshed, reducing absenteeism and ensuring productivity the next day. Combining the best of both worlds, the Hannah Montana technique. My kids love that show. It is what one genius blogger referred to as cow pie and apple pie effect. If you like intellectual shortcuts, such a declaration has almost perfect sensitivity and specificity for whatever is being touted is likely worthless, and you need not read further. I get no such luxury, for I must read on. Would I be interested in speaking with the inventor? No. Did you read this blog or listen to the Quackcast? I think not. Just who generated this email list? I guess PR competence, parallel scam practitioner competence. But it did bring up the interesting question, how does one treat a hangover? An important topic, say, if one was about to travel to the land of pasta and wine. As an aside, there are also red wine headaches that are probably due to histamines found in red wines. They are 200 times that found in white wine and some other alcoholic drinks, although there are other potential causes for red wine headaches. I notice of late the waiters now ask if I want a beverage instead of a drink. I want a drink! Anyway, quote, headaches can be induced by histamine in wines in patients suffering from histamine intolerance, a disease characterized by impaired histamine degradation based on reduced diamine oxidase activity, or a lack of that enzyme. A little non-sedating antihistamine may prevent the headache. It did save my father's wine tasting club. But that isn't a hangover. It has probably been 50 years since I have had a hangover. College, if I remember correctly. Been there, done that, and vowed, never do it again. Before moving on to Jelly IV, or Jelly 4, and other hangover interventions, what is the cause of a hangover? I mean, besides drinking too much alcohol, what is the pathophysiology? Once we understand that, we can then determine the likelihood that a hangover cure is better than the hair of the dog that bit you. A curious expression. It comes from, quote, it originally referred to a method of treatment for a rabid dog bite by placing the hair from the dog in the bite wound. It didn't work. And the Wikipedia page also points out that this is a like-cures-like treatment, so beloved by homeopaths. Hangovers were not an important part of my medical practice. Alcohol withdrawal, overdose, and complications of cirrhosis, there's a word for you, along with Crohn's and ophthalmology, medical words where I never remember where the H goes. But cirrhosis was common enough, but I do not think I ever saw a hungover patient. I had it in my mind that hangovers were due to a combination of dehydration, alcohol being a diuretic, and a mild poisoning from acetaldehyde. As the liver's alcohol dehydrogenase oxidizes ethanol to acetaldehyde, and then aldehyde dehydrogenase oxidizes acetaldehyde to acetate. That's the way ethanol is metabolized. Turns out the literature on hangover is rather sparse, and the studies are often of poor quality. Quote, many of the human studies of hangover are not well controlled, with subjects consuming various concentrations of alcohol over variable time periods and evaluation not blinded. Also, studies have measured different symptoms and used varying methods of measurement. Not a surprise upon reflection, as it is a process that I think would be difficult to find volunteers to study. I would not want to deliberately or accidentally have another hangover. One review notes, quote, in contrast, research on the pathology of alcohol hangover remains limited. Reviews on this topic suggest a variety of possible causes of the alcohol hangover, such as the role of the presence of ethanol and its metabolites in the blood, oxidative stress, and the immune response to alcohol consumption. However, the data presented in these reviews to support these hypotheses are limited. And another article notes, quote, these analyses show the concentration of various hormones, electrolytes, free fatty acids, triglycerides, lactate, ketone bodies, cortisol, and glucose were not significantly correlated with reported alcohol hangover severity. Also, markers of dehydration, for example, vasopressin, were not significantly related to hangover severity. Some studies reported significant correlation between blood acetaldehyde concentration and hangover severity, but most convincing is the significant relationship between immune factors and hangover severity. The latter is supported by studies showing that hangover severity may be reduced by inhibitors of prostaglandin synthesis. Several factors do not cause alcohol hangover but can aggravate its severity. These include sleep deprivation, smoking, cogeners, health status, genetics, and individual differences. Much to my surprise, even dehydration is not likely a major cause of a hangover. Quote, survey data revealed that water consumption during or directly after alcohol consumption had only a modest effect in preventing next day hangover. Also, the amount of water consumed during hangover was not related to changes of hangover severity and thirst. Thus, water consumption was not effective to alleviate the alcohol hangover. So the cause of a hangover is likely multifactorial, although one review suggests that it is the rate at which you metabolize the alcohol that is important. The slower the metabolism, the more the alcohol poisoning. Alcohol, unlike acetaldehyde, easily crosses the blood-brain barrier, and then the greater the hangover. Quote, the data summarized in this review suggests that ethanol elimination rate is the critical determinant of alcohol severity for a number of reasons. First, significant correlations have been found between ethanol concentration, but not acetaldehyde, and hangover severity. Second, nutrients, microbiota, and hangover treatments that speed up the conversion of ethanol into acetaldehyde are associated with less severe hangovers. Taken together, the data suggest that a more rapid conversion of alcohol to acetaldehyde and other aldehydes is associated with less severe hangovers. So it is not unreasonable to postulate that anything that increases alcohol metabolism could lead to less severe hangovers. But alcohol is a poison with widespread effects on many physiologic processes. So there is likely no simple solution to the physiology or treatment of a hangover outside the unacceptable choice of avoiding a Volcare or a Negroni. Quote, the most effective way to avoid the symptoms of alcohol-induced hangover is to practice abstinence or moderation. Moderation works for me. But let's say one does imbibe a wee bit too much and drives the porcelain bus. Are there SBM-approved effective interventions for hangovers? Not really. Quote, for these studies, it must be concluded that most remedies do not significantly reduce overall hangover severity. Some compounds may reduce specific symptoms such as vomiting, that's a good thing, and headache, but they are not effective in reducing other common hangover symptoms such as drowsiness and fatigue. Hangover cures that show positive effects were those inhibiting prostaglandin synthesis or accelerating alcohol metabolism. Further studies should elucidate the pathology of alcohol hangover. Until then, it is unlikely that an effective hangover cure will be developed. There was a meta-analysis of all the double-blind studies in the BMJ, and it said, quote, the agents tested were propranolol, tropistron, if I pronounce that right, tolfenamic acid, fructose or glucose, and the dietary supplements Borango officialis, borage, Cynara scolymus, artichoke, Opuntia ficus indica, prickly pear, and a yeast-based preparation. All studies were double-blinded and probably pronounced correctly by the researchers. And the findings, quote, no compelling evidence exists to suggest any conventional or complementary intervention is effective for preventing or treating the alcohol hangover. There are many supplements and herbs that purport to cure or prevent hangover. No good data for any of them. Jelly IV, or Jelly 4, which inspired this essay, has a science page with non-reference descriptions of the contents of the product. Jelly IV, or 4, contains dihydromyrcetin, which in high doses has many antagonistic effects on alcohol in rats, although the data in rats, depending on the study, is also iffy. Quote, although the expected hepatoprotective effect of DHM, see, they're smart, they're calling it DHM rather than dihydromyrcetin, yeah, that's it, was not fully achieved. DHM proved to reduce the level of ROS/NS in hepatocytes. However, no change in the rate of alcohol metabolism in vitro was found when rats were administered a single or repeated dose of ethanol supplemented with DHM. In conclusion, the proposed positive effect of DHM during alcohol intoxication has not been proven. Humans are not rats. Well, some of the time. I could not find studies to support the use of DHM in humans. Jelly IV, or 4, also contains artichoke extract, which is a waste of artichokes, which has been studied and, quote, our results suggest that artichoke extract is not effective in preventing the signs and symptoms of alcohol-induced hangover. However, artichokes dipped in butter do taste good. Although it is not used as much in the hangover preventative, it is used for liver protection and the elimination of, as always, unnamed toxins. At this point, I have to admit I grew bored. Outside of electrolytes, none of the products seem to target the symptoms of hangovers or any alleged pathophysiology. They just provide support. So many alternative medicine treatments act as if nothing more than a truss. It is usually unproductive to go down the rat hole of any evidence for any herbal product effectiveness. At best, they are extrapolations from marginal basic science, all sound and fury signifying nothing. I did wonder about the name, Jelly IV or 4. It is not an intravenous product, I hope, since it is a jelly. Is it the fourth iteration? Jelly, Jelly Jr., Jelly the Third, now Jelly 4? I don't know. There are a variety of homeopathic hangover treatments, at least 7, depending on the subtle variation in your symptoms. Splitting headache with movement, or just a headache? Is there flatulence? Then a different nostrum. But no human studies on PubMed to demonstrate efficacy. Oddly, the most popular homeopathic cure for hangover is 30C, i.e. nothing, of the wonderfully named Nux vomica tree, but not ethanol. It would seem the perfect opportunity to demonstrate that like cures like. Nope. Nux vomica is also used to treat digestive problems such as constipation, bloating, heartburn, nausea, male infertility, impotence, colds and flu, particularly in early stages of the virus, Allergies, back pain, irritability, impatience, and high sensitivity to stimuli caused by stress or mental strain, headaches and migraine symptoms such as sore scalp, frontal pain, light sensitivity, or stomach problems, menstrual problems, and insomnia. All processes with a similar underlying pathophysiology to hangovers, he notes sarcastically. Quite the wonder drug that works wonders, as always with homeopathy. And chiropractic will treat your hangover. Quote, by realigning the spine and promoting nervous system function, chiropractic adjustments can provide relief from headache pain and, of course, support your body's natural healing processes. I doubt it. Quote, by addressing the root causes of hangover symptoms and promoting overall wellness, chiropractic adjustments can offer a natural solution for those post-party symptoms. The need for spinal adjustment is the root cause of a hangover? And here I thought I was drinking too much. Glad I wasn't enjoying a beverage when I read that. I hate milk coming out my nose. The AI summary is very positive for using chiropractic for hangover, referencing, well, chiropractors who say they can treat hangovers. Go to Midas, get a muffler. But the real root cause is not in the spine. Nope. It is the alcohol as, quote, when you drink alcohol, it enters your stomach and is digested by your spleen and stomach organ systems. Thus, the nutrients that can be derived from it are processed and the remaining elements excreted as waste. Because of the volatile, damp, hot nature of booze, when you drink too much of it, your ability to process the volatility becomes corrupted. When this happens, the damp heat persists, and a few things can happen. What followed after that quote was the traditional Chinese pseudo-medical explanation of persisting damp heat, also known as gibberish. Yes, there are words there, nouns, verbs, adjectives, but no, they make zero sense. The site was interesting as it warned of the danger of using the wrong acupoints. Quote, once again, it's good advice to seek the proper diagnosis of a TCM practitioner, as taking the wrong herbs or using the wrong acupuncture points for your own personal pattern could lead you to feeling worse. I do not believe I have ever seen that warning before. Just how does one go about determining what constitutes a proper fictional diagnosis? I don't know. But there are a variety of acupoints in Chinese herbs used for the non-treatment of hangover. Like chiropractic and homeopathy, of course, none are proven in clinical trials. My browser AI summary was also quite positive for acupuncture for hangover. Looking at the references, it was because acupuncture sites were positive about using acupuncture for hangover. Using AI and scam is not a good combination. It's all garbage in, garbage out. And if you search for naturopathic cures, you will find plenty of advice, often multiple and expensive, to cure your hangover. It is safe to say that most scams offer a treatment for hangovers, even Reiki. Although, evidently participating in Reiki with the wrong people can induce a hangover-like state. Wow. So beware. So my take-home? Got me. Hangovers are a problem with no solution, and prevention is not going to happen if you drink too much. Salute. And that brings us to the end of the 214th QuackCast Revenant Edition. The references and very clever links can be found at Science Based Medicine Hungover from October 15th, 2024. Otherwise, see you next time. Bye. Well, I won't see you. I'll listen to you. Well, you'll listen to me. Someone will listen to me next time I do this. That's the way this works, right? Bye.